Good morning and welcome to this celebration of Holy Communion on this fourth Sunday of Easter, Good Shepherd Sunday. We hardly need reminding how often in the Bible the Lord is described as a shepherd, caring for his flock. Time and again, this loving description of him appears in both the Old Testament and the New. For everyone, the 23rd Psalm sums it all up. The Lord is my shepherd, therefore can I lack nothing. One particular way of thinking of the Lord as the Good Shepherd appears in our reading today. I am the Good Shepherd, and I lay down my life for the sheep, says Jesus. His words, of course, remind us of his cross, and he was foretelling his crucifixion when he said, I lay down my life for the sheep. But also, he is foretelling his resurrection. Jesus is saying he is the good shepherd of his flock forever. He is not a martyr, killed and gone, only a memory of the event. His death is part of his becoming the everlasting and eternal good shepherd. Through his sufferings on the cross, he would be glorified and made to be the good shepherd for always. The psalmist expresses this confidence when he says, Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. At the present time, no one can be under any illusions about the potentially fatal consequences of being infected by the deadly coronavirus. However, that is not to say that those who are infected will not recover and live for many years to come. For each of us, whether our remaining time on earth be long or short, before we reach our final resting place, we will doubtless pass through many a valley of the shadow. Our Christian trust is that we can be confident that at those times, Jesus, the Good Shepherd, will be close to us to guide us and help us through the dark to the light beyond. Christ is risen.
The Lord is risen indeed. Alleluia.
Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. By his great mercy, he has given us a new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. The opening hymn, 258. Christ the Lord is risen again. Alleluia.
Thank you.
Almighty God,
Almighty God,
to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hidden, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Christ our Lord. Amen. Hear what our Lord Jesus Christ says. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like it: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets. Lord, have mercy on us, and write these your laws in our hearts. God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, Jesus Christ, to save us from our sins, to intercede for us in heaven, and to bring us to eternal life. Let us then confess our sins in penitence and faith, firmly resolved to keep God's commandments and to live in love and peace.
Almighty God,
our Heavenly Father, we have sinned in thought and word and deed, and in what we have left undone. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may walk in newness of life, to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, who forgives all who truly repent, have mercy on you, pardon and deliver you from all your sins, confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and keep you in eternal life, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Almighty God, whose Son Jesus Christ is the resurrection and the life, raise us who trust in him from the death of sin to the life of righteousness, that we may seek those things which are above, where he reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Amen. We sing the Easter anthems.
Thank you.
A reading from the book of the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 2, beginning at verse 42. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. Awe came upon them, because many wonders and signs were being done by the apostles. All who believed were together and had all things in common. They would sell their possessions and goods and distribute the proceeds to all as any had need. Day by day, as they spent much time together in the temple, they broke bread at home and ate their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having the goodwill of all the people. And day by day, the God added to their number those who were being saved. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Thanks be to God.
The gradual hymn, number 20. The King of Love, my shepherd is. Hear the Gospel of our Saviour Christ according to St. John, chapter 10, beginning at verse 1. Very truly, I tell you, anyone who does not enter the sheepfold by the gate but climbs in by another way is a thief and a bandit. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep hear his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes ahead of them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. They will not follow a stranger, but they will run from him because they do not know the voice of strangers. Jesus used this figure of speech with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. So again Jesus said to them, "Very truly I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and bandits, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters by me will be saved, and will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep." This is the gospel of the Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Even though we are in the season of Easter, our lives may still feel like one long Lenten discipline of social distancing and fighting illness. Even as we proclaim the truth of Easter resurrection, Good Friday's shadow still looms long. We know that Jesus, the Good Shepherd, is faithful. So let us go to the scriptures together and ask to be taught, to be healed, to be loved. What we notice first is that of all the Good Shepherd Sunday texts available to us, this gospel is by far the most abstract. Jesus clearly has something he wants to communicate to us, but his layers of symbolism are so dense that it is difficult to understand what he means beyond the obvious. In fact, St. John even tells us outright that this one is going to take, as it were, some drilling down. Jesus used this figure of speech with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. Traditionally, this text has often been used as a means of exclusion. Jesus says, "Very truly I tell you, anyone who does not enter the sheepfold by the gate, but climbs in by another way, is a thief and a bandit." People have used this saying to enforce false boundaries to shore up their own power, labeling as the proverbial thieves and bandits anyone who is, shall we say, unorthodox, whether that means you have the wrong race, the wrong doctrine, the wrong belief, the wrong politics, or whatever. The farther we are driven into anger and fear, the harder it is to see shades of subtlety. When we feel threatened, we sink into black and white thinking very quickly. All shades of grey are rendered invisible by one primal drive for security. Everything becomes very rigid, and suddenly we love Jesus' image of the sheepfold with the gate that is going to keep some people out, because by implication it will keep those of us on the inside safe. We will have a holy and secure isolation from those people who will no longer be a threat. In this type of circle the wagons mentality, everything and everyone becomes rigidly locked into place. We imprison ourselves and everyone around us into roles of good person and bad person. There is very little freedom in that place and very little love. So let's go back to the gospel. When we first read it, especially if we were feeling vulnerable, threatened, and longing for security, all we see are walls, barriers, boundaries, and separation. That's what a fence with a gate is it not? But that is not what Jesus is talking about when he says, "I am the gate." He's not trying to keep people out or even allow us to stay safely in. Nor is he trying to make us feel like we're not good enough to be let in, to join the insiders inside the sheepfold. Let's stop and think for a moment. What is the purpose of the gate? It is precisely to create an opening in the fence. It is precisely to allow travel through the wall. It is a means of liberation, not a means of exclusion. When Jesus says, "I am the gate," it is his way of inviting us both in and out. He is telling us that he is our way to safety, to entering a restful place where we know we are loved and protected. But he is also telling us that we will need to go back out through that gate into the world. It is his invitation to leave safety and security and go back out into a world of challenges and stumbling blocks. We might expect that of Jesus, that he would tell us that we are safe, but that there is more to life than safety. We could understand that he does promise us sanctuary, but he also expects us to go back out and do the good work we are called to do, knowing that it may sometimes end with us feeling battered and bruised. But where Jesus really becomes subversive is when he calls himself the gate. He's not just saying there is a gate in all your carefully constructed, self-isolating walls. He's saying, "I am the gate in all your carefully constructed, self-isolating walls." It's this stealthy, undermining means of salvation that is utterly brilliant. Because that means that everything that we have labeled as a barrier is actually Jesus. Everything we have set up to protect ourselves is actually our very means of being called out into a life of adventure, possibility, and yes, strife and conflict. And those careful walls we've placed between ourselves and others, Jesus is the gate. He's made himself a secret entrance into our hardened hearts, and all types of scary people are going to get in. When we fully understand that Jesus is the gate, Jesus is the entry point into all change, depth, struggle, and love. It is simultaneously terrifying and exhilarating. As the saying goes, God loves us exactly as we are, and God loves us far too much to leave us that way. Martin Laird, in Into the Silent Land, tells a powerful story. He speaks of walking across a moor with a friend who had four dogs. As they walked, three of the dogs would run out across the moor, leaping over creeks and chasing rabbits and joyfully exploring their environment. But one of the dogs would only run in a small circle right in front of his owner. No matter how many miles they walked or how far afield the other dogs went, the dog would only run in a tight circle very close to them. Laird asked him why, and he replied, "This dog was kept for his entire life prior to coming to me in a very small cage. His body has left the cage, but his mind still carries it with him. For him, the world outside the cage does not exist, and so no matter how big and beautiful the moor, he will never run out across it. I bring him here so he can breathe the fresh air, but he's still running circles in his cage." On a good day, when we're feeling confident and happy in God's love, seeing the glory of God's people and God's creation all around us, grey is beautiful. We set aside the comforting security of black and white thinking and dive into the shadow land between. Grey is possibility, opportunity, the treasure hidden in the field. We can handle and even appreciate nuance, subtlety, ambiguity, and the uncertainty that is the foundational characteristic of faith. But when we are hurting, weary, afraid, not only can we no longer see the shades of grey, we no longer want to. We are the dog who carries the cage with him out onto the moor. We think we're keeping ourselves safe. We think we're obeying the rules, but really, we're our own jailers. We are refusing to see the open gate in our hearts. We are refusing to see Jesus. But we know Jesus is patient with our willful blindness. He says to all of us, "I am the gate. Whoever enters by me will be saved and will come in and go out and find pasture." Sometimes we perhaps wish there were no gate. Sometimes we wish the barriers and boundaries we've placed around our hearts were bulletproof and siege-resistant. But before long, God reminds us that that aching hole in our hearts, where insight and possibility and all of these people, beautiful, flawed people, keep sneaking in, that is the very presence of Jesus, who brings us rest in green pastures beside the still waters. Amen. We believe in one God.
We believe in one God.
The Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father. God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation he came down from heaven, was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic, and Apostolic Church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Let us pray. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, you promised through your Son, Jesus Christ, to hear the prayers of those who ask in faith. Lord of your people, strengthen your church in all the world at this time of international crisis in the desire for true fellowship. We pray for this diocese and for David, our bishop. We pray for this group of parishes, and also for the parish of Craigavon and the priest in charge, the Reverend Myrtle Morrison. Renew the life of this diocese as we respond to and participate in the prayer initiative taking place later this month. We pray for John, our Archbishop and Metropolitan, on his first Sunday in the primacy of all Ireland. Grant him your daily help and build us up in faith and love. We acknowledge that you alone are the gate for the sheep, and pray that we may know more from daily experience with you, that we can find no other entry to the blessings of your green pastures. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Lord of creation, look in favor on the world you have made, which feels strange right now. Keep the nation safe in the midst of this health crisis. Bless Elizabeth, our Queen, and all in positions of responsibility at home and abroad. Give them wisdom to make right decisions, courage to fulfill them, and perseverance to continue their efforts to promote the welfare of humanity. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
God of our relationships, comfort and sustain the communities in which we live, and especially those in them who are working in the national health and other frontline services. Help us to love our neighbors, especially those who are isolated. Support those who are anxious about family and friends, and help them to find peace. We are your people, giving and loving. Wherever we are, whatever it costs, for as long as it takes, wherever you call us, use us as you will. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Lord of all healing, relieve and protect those who are sick and those recovering from sickness. In particular, we remember Violet Howard, Walter Kelly, and Heather Dugan, praying especially for all who suffer from the coronavirus. Give comfort to everyone in distress and a sense of calm to us all in these days of uncertainty and distress. We pray in particular for Peter and Elaine Finney, Caroline and Laura, and the entire family circle on the passing of Peter's father. Help us to believe that nothing can separate us from your love revealed in your Son, Jesus Christ. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Lord of eternity, bind us together by your Holy Spirit in communion with all who, having confessed the faith, have died in the peace of Christ, that we may entrust ourselves and one another and our whole life to you, Lord God, and come with all your saints to the joys of your eternal kingdom.
Amen.
Amen. Accept our prayers through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who taught us to pray, Our Father.
Our Father.
Who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. We do not presume.
We do not presume
to come to this your table, merciful Lord, trusting in our own righteousness, but in your manifold and great mercies. We are not worthy so much as to gather up the crumbs under your table, but you are the same Lord, whose nature is always to have mercy. Grant us, therefore, gracious Lord, so to eat the flesh of your dear Son, Jesus Christ, and to drink his blood, that our sinful bodies may be made clean by his body, and our souls washed through his most precious blood, and that we may evermore dwell in him, and he in us. Amen. The risen Christ came and stood among his disciples and said, Peace be with you. Then were they glad when they saw the Lord. The peace of the Lord be always with you.
And also with you.
The hymn 438. O thou who at thy Eucharist didst pray that all thy church might be forever one.
Thank you.
Christ, our Passover, has been sacrificed for us.
Therefore, let us celebrate the feast.
The Lord is here.
His Spirit is with us.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
All glory and honor, thanks and praise be given to you at all times and in all places, Lord, Holy Father, true and living God, through Jesus Christ our Lord. For he is your eternal Word, through whom you have created all things from the beginning and formed us in your own image. For he is the true Passover Lamb who was offered for us and has taken away the sin of the world. By his death, he has destroyed death, and by his rising to life, he has restored to us eternal life. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we proclaim your great and glorious name, forever praising you and singing. Merciful Lord, we thank you for these gifts of your creation, this bread and this wine. And we pray that we who eat and drink them in the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, in obedience to our Saviour Jesus Christ, in remembrance of his death and passion, may be partakers of his body and his blood. Who in the night he was betrayed took bread, and when he had given you thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup, and again giving you thanks, he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Father, with this bread and this cup, we do as our Savior has commanded. We celebrate the redemption he has won for us. We proclaim his perfect sacrifice, made once for all upon the cross, his mighty resurrection and glorious ascension, and we look for his coming to fulfill all things according to your will. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Renew us by your Holy Spirit. Unite us in the body of your Son, and bring us with all your people into the joy of your eternal kingdom, through Jesus Christ our Lord, with whom and in whom, by the power of the Holy Spirit, we worship you, Father Almighty, in songs of never-ending praise, blessing and honor and glory and power are yours forever and ever. Amen. The bread which we break is a sharing in the body of Christ.
We being many are one body, for we all share in the one bread.
Draw near with faith, receive the body of our Lord Jesus Christ, which he gave for you, and his blood, which he shed for you. Remember that he died for you, and feed on him in your hearts by faith with thanksgiving. Merciful Father, you gave your Son, Jesus Christ, to be the Good Shepherd, and in his love for us to lay down his life and rise again. Keep us always under his protection, and give us grace to follow in his steps through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Amen. Almighty God,
Almighty God,
we thank you for feeding us with the spiritual food of the body and blood of your Son, Jesus Christ. Through him we offer you our souls and bodies to be a living sacrifice. Send us out in the power of your Spirit to live and work to your praise and glory. Amen. God the Father, by whose glory Christ was raised from the dead, raise you up to walk with him in the newness of his risen life. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be among you and remain with you always. Sing hymn 288, Thine Be the Glory, Risen Conquering Son.
Thank you.
Go in the peace of the risen Christ. Alleluia, alleluia.
Thanks be to God. Alleluia, alleluia.
Once again, we thank you for your presence and participation in this service today. Our next online Sunday service will be next Sunday, live from the usual time of 10 o'clock, and it will take the form of a special service to mark the 75th anniversary of VE Day. And we look forward to having you with us then. Thank you.